This is Walt Disney World Today. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
This is Matt Hotford from MGMstudios.org. We're live from MouseFest 2005. On the show today, actually for the first time to my right, is Len Testa of The Unofficial Guide. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Pretty good. And Mark Goldhaber was here, but he's not here anymore. And we have Mike Scopa to my other right.
Good afternoon, Matt. I have no opening. I'm too tired.
Yeah, we have no scripts today because we've been busy in the parks and doing everything else. And we also have, working the control booth today, is Mike Newell.
Hello.
Of Mouse World Radio.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, he actually made this one. He comes to the live ones. He doesn't come to the recorded ones.
He does exist, folks. He does
yes.
exist.
We've
absolutely.
Seen him now, so we know he's alive.
And what we're going to be talking about today, actually, is what we've seen and heard and done over the past couple days, being here at MouseFest, some of the events, as well as some of the Disney events. Why don't you start off, Mike Scopa, with what you've seen and done?
Well, my week started off with the Candlelight Processional over at Epcot on Tuesday night. And after the Candlelight Processional, I had dinner with friends at Le Cellier. On Wednesday and Thursday, I just made my rounds around the park, went to the Magic Kingdom, checked out the decorations, went to MGM Studios and wanted to look at the Osborne lights, which I must say are much better than last year. I still think that Len can easily say that they've gone over the Liberace line. But they've spread out the Osborne lights. They are now down towards the Muppets, and I think that people will enjoy them much more than they did last year. I did attend the Very Merry. It was very good. I did not watch the fireworks Holiday Wishes from my favorite spot, so I really don't know if I should comment on them. I did talk with a lot of people, and they didn't think that they were as good as the Not So Scary, still enjoyed them.
I agree. I thought the Holiday Wishes was not impressive at all. I thought the music didn't really match
yeah,
that
the
well.
Music wasn't.
It was fireworks for the sake of fireworks.
Right.
And it went on forever, too,
yeah.
didn't it?
It was long. It didn't seem like it fit very well. It wasn't entertaining, and I don't know how to borrow a line from Len. You know, how do you screw up fireworks and you know and Disney? I mean, it's pretty hard to, right?
Yeah.
So continue. Yeah. I just wanted.
That was a comment. Just to let everybody know. I also noticed that they did not give the complimentary family photo. You could take a photo with Santa Claus, but I don't believe that there were photos given out that night.
I was able to get one.
You were able to get one?
Yeah.
Really?
And in Adventureland, across from the Swiss Family Treehouse.
Oh, okay. So maybe I was.
It was well hidden.
Maybe there was something in my cocoa that night.
Entirely possible.
Entirely possible.
No, they had. It was very well hidden in there. In fact, the only way we knew about it was because there was a cast member out there, like waving his arms, free pictures in here.
Oh.
So it was very. You couldn't see it from without actually knowing where it is exactly. Anything else that you found?
The only other thing that I'd like to mention is that there was a pretty decent Christmas parade at our favorite park, Animal Kingdom Park. And
you went there?
By pretty decent.
I had a free dessert thing there going on. So, hey.
All right.
Why
it's
not?
Free.
You know,
free
dessert. I didn't really watch the parade. I was there for the free ice cream. So
that's how to get Mike to the Animal Kingdom.
That's exactly. Free that's how you get me to the Animal Kingdom. If they ever build Aloha Isle in the Animal Kingdom, I'm there. That's it for me. I'm going to turn it over to
Len.
And I'm going to roam around.
All right.
We'll announce Mike as he goes by sort of like the Macy's Day Parade, Thanksgiving Day Parade floats. And coming by is Mike Scopa. Looking lovely this year.
So what have you noticed, Len, on this trip?
Well, it definitely is crowded this year. I think there are two large conventions in. It's the Performance Racing League. It has like 40,000 people in. And there's another convention. So the hotels are packed. I know Beach Club, for example, is overbooked last night. And so people who were checking in actually got moved over to the Boardwalk Villas.
Wow.
And that was pretty good. But I got in Thursday, very early in the morning. We did some hotel inspections at Fort Wilderness Cabins, which I hadn't stayed in a number of years. That was a hoot. And I stayed at, other people at Saratoga Springs. And there's just a ton of construction going on over there still. And
really?
The interesting thing about that is that the, during the day, the construction noise is pretty loud. So if you're trying to sleep in or do anything during the day that's, you know, quiet. If you got kids, that's probably not the best place to go. But I really enjoyed the cabins.
All right. Well, right now we've got Mike Scopa standing by with, it looks like, Deb Wills. And we're going to go right over to him.
Hi, everybody.
There
I'm
he is.
MouseFest. And I'm at the lovely Dolphin Hotel with the founder, one of the founders of MouseFest, the lovely and talented Deb Wills. And Deb, what do you think of this year's event?
Mike, it's another awesome event. We've got a room full of people, and there's smiles on everyone, and lots of handshakes and hugs. It's a great event today.
Deb, if you could pick one or two things that have happened today that will stick in your mind as having a very, very warm spot in your heart, what would you say they are?
I think it's the people who have come up to me who I've read and have purchased the Passporters Walt Disney World for Your Special Needs book that Debbie Coma and I co-authored, and just expressed their gratitude for writing the book directed and targeted towards folks who have special needs, and how much it has helped them have a truly magical vacation. And there are no words to explain how that makes us feel, and that's why we wrote the book. We love Disney so much, we want everybody to be able to experience Disney like we can, and we hope that the book enables people to do that.
That's a very good answer. If you could sit down with anyone who has walked through these doors and just sit with them for a few minutes and talk to them, what would you like to say to them?
I don't know what I would like to say. He got me that time. I would like to thank them for being part of the Disney community, thank them for reading our books and for visiting our websites and posting on our message boards, because without all the fans, MouseFest wouldn't exist and we wouldn't be here today.
A very elegant answer from a very elegant lady. Deb, thank you, and thank you for MouseFest. Back to you, Matt.
Thanks, Mike. Well, that was Deb Wills, of course, of AllEarsNet.com. She is one of the founding members of MouseFest, and she runs this. We had her on a few weeks ago, of course, with Deb Coma about the people with disabilities visiting Walt Disney World. And Mike Scopa will continue to harass other people at this convention and try to get them to come talk to us. Now, Len, have you seen the Osborne lights yet?
I walked through yesterday during the day. I haven't seen them on yet this time.
Any thoughts about them at all? Or
it looks good. I mean, I think the setup looks much better than last year. I'm interested to see them at night. I might head over there around 6 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock, just right after dark.
Yeah, I saw it on I believe Wednesday night, and the only problem I had was I couldn't find any 3D glasses, which
aren't they normally handing them out?
Yeah, you would think before there was a difference. Was last year you were held up at a particular area before, it was a rope drop kind of thing on Commissary Lane, and this year you just, you know, walked in there,
wander around like hunter gatherers.
Yeah, and then they kind of like turn the lights on,
looking for roots and berries and 3D glasses. Right.
They also had a which may or may not have been new this year, was they had a kind of a faux pas radio broadcast. Kind of like if you've ever heard the afternoon parade at MGM Studios, it's two people talking, and it's kind of like they're broadcasting kind of like in a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say, and it comes on intermittent, you know, at different times, sometimes in the beginning and then at the end. And it was, to me, it looked different. But let's go to Mike Scopa, who's got...
Looks like it's Steve.
Steve Barrett.
He's shaking hands with Steve now.
Is Steve Barrett, Len?
Yes, Steve.
This is Mike Scopa again, and I'm here with Steve Barrett, author of Hidden Mickeys and Hassle-Free Walt Disney World Vacation. Steve, what do you think of this year's MouseFest?
Better than ever, Mike. I'm looking forward to it every year, and it's getting better every year. The people here are wonderful. I'm having a great time.
Is there anything special that has hit you this week that was sort of a surprise or really will stick in your memory?
Well, my feeling about this week is that I'm getting better at leading Hidden Mickey hunts. I was a novice initially, but I'm learning how to do it. And we've just had a great time each day in the Hidden Mickey hunt. But I just enjoy seeing you and the other Disney fans like myself. It's just a wonderful time of year.
Well, I can say that I was on one of Steve's Hidden Mickey hunts, and it's been I've been looking for the special hieroglyphic Hidden Mickey at the... a great movie ride for about the last 150 years, and it wasn't until I was on the actual tram with Steve that I finally got to see that hidden Mickey. So I want to thank Steve, and thanks for coming on our show.
My pleasure, Mike. Anytime. I'm certainly willing to talk to you anytime, and I love talking about anything Disney, especially hidden Mickeys.
I concur. Back to Mike, Matt, and Len.
Thanks, Mike. That was, of course, Steve Barrett of HiddenMickeysGuide.com. And while Mike Scopa goes and finds someone else to talk to, Mike Newell, what have you found out this week?
Matt, well, I went into Epcot the other day, and I went on the new and reopened Living Seas featuring Nemo and Friends.
Yeah, I went on there for the first time to... did you go to the whole area, or was that new to you?
The whole area has been redone. It wasn't open last time I was here in August. It was open yesterday. Not a big fan of what they did to it. I prefer the old classic way that they did that. But I also noticed the Ice Station Cool is now called
Club Cool. Something like that. It's very
similar to what it was. The same machines were there.
It has zero theme to it. It looks more like out of a W hotel more than anything, but it's the same terrible soda that one can actually enjoy.
That's the whole fun of it.
You can get your own bottle of it now, right?
Can you really? Can you buy that?
They have a store in there, a little counter service that you can buy a soda.
No
over
kidding.
There.
I didn't notice that. I just walked in and it was kind of crowded, so I just I just looked around and
you mentioned going back to the Living Seas, Len. You mentioned that the capacity for Nemo has greatly increased. Is that right? I mean for
Turtle Talk with
Turtle
Crush.
Talk Turtle with Crush. Talk. Yes.
Yeah. When we were here earlier this year, I think the most people we'd ever counted in the attraction at one time was around 87. And this time, I guess, to alleviate some of the crowds, they were really packing people in, like sardines. <Get it? laughs> And there had to be like 140, 150 people in, and the wait was still 30 minutes. And that was at like 7 or 8 o'clock.
Yeah, the whole center area is now a line. It's become a
queue. You go in the exit, which is sort of interesting.
That's nice. I like that. I like to be able to do that.
Worked out pretty well, but... other than that, I didn't see a whole lot of changes in the theming. It's going to have to wait till next year to get the seat cabs back in.
Are they going to I heard they were going to redo
that. Yeah. It's going to be longer, too. They're adding like 90 seconds to the ride. So that's
and the film will be
in
gone,
in terms
I guess.
Of...
And it rained. And it rained.
The Deluge.
The Deluge, exactly.
I love that movie. I could watch that movie.
It's Kathleen Turner, right? She does the...
Is that who that
is?
Oh, I love that movie. That's one of the old things about Epcot that I miss, the older Epcot.
You want to hear something funny? That's actually how I learned the word chemosynthesis. Chemosynthesis.
I love that movie. I miss the old. I miss Horizons. I miss the old classic Epcot. And I hate to see change when it comes to a future world. It's just something, I don't know.
I mean, the film is so dated now.
Oh, absolutely. But it's great.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll come up with something new and a lot better. And if they do open the sea cabs, I miss the sea cabs. I hope they open that up again.
It'll be good.
It should be interesting what they'll do with the sea cabs as they're adding, of course, a Nemo theme to it. And
I think you actually see Nemo through the ride and Dory and the...
It could be very interesting. Hopefully not another Stitch on our hands.
Yeah. Yeah, that seemed to be... And it looks like Mike has another guest. Mike?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a special guest, the author of Mouse Tales, David Koenig, who's here for his first Mouse Fest 2005. David, what's your impression?
This is fantastic. It is frighteningly enjoyable. It's great that they were able to get, literally hundreds of people in here, everybody having a good time. It's not like your traditional trade show where people are spending all kinds of money and have this sort of painful look on their face. Everybody's just here to meet friends and meet authors and webmasters, people they've never met that they think they sort of know, or in fact people who have become friends from coming to multiple events.
I have to agree. I was going to ask you, are there any projects that you're working on right now that you could share with us?
Well, perhaps I just might be. I don't think this has been officially announced, so this is groundbreaking news. A scoop for you, Mike, is that my book, Mouse Tales, A Behind the Ears Look at Disneyland, came out in 1994, and I've written a couple other Disneyland-oriented books since then, but finally, next year, sometime late next year, hopefully in time for next year's Mouse Fest, my first book about Disney World in Florida will be out, sort of a Mouse Tales type look at the wacky things that have happened in Florida over the years.
Is that going to focus on one particular park, or is it the entire resort?
It will be the entire history of the entire resort, but it will mostly focus on Disney in the beginning, mostly the creation and construction and operation of the Magic Kingdom, and then through the opening of Epcot. To me, you know, in the early 80s and before, that's when Disney was really a unique company. Now, you know, love it, hate it, you know, praise it, criticize it, whatever. Disney is, you know, a business first. It produces a lot of great products. We all still love so many things it does. But on the corporate inside, it's pretty indecipherable from, you know, Coca-Cola or IBM. But back in the, when Disney World first began in the 60s and into the 70s and even through the opening of Epcot, the Disney Company was an extremely unique place all the way to the top. I mean, this was a family company run like a family business, and as a result, you know, it was a very different place to work and to visit.
It's a very interesting story, and it would be nice to have all those little bits and pieces between two covers. And if anybody can do it, guys, it's David Koenig. He's one of my heroes, and I'm looking forward to that book, David.
And you, Mike, are one of my heroes.
Mutual Admiration Society. All right. That's it for here.
So Mike, Matt and I went this morning to ride Snow White's Scary Adventure at the Magic Kingdom, of course, during the parade taping day.
Oh, good.
But we rode with a 12-year-old boy who had ridden 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's autistic, and, okay. And apparently this is his ride. It's the thing he likes to do. So we rode with his parents. His parents had actually, when we rode through the ride, were actually pointing out ways to make the ride better. And apparently the boy's name is Ben. And
mm-hmm.
every time Ben rides the ride, the only way the parents can get through the ride now without going crazy is to think of different ways to improve it. So they had actually come up with a great idea for Stitch
uh-huh.
in the Tiki Room. They were saying that they could turn it into like a Lilo Stitch sort of Aloha theme, which would be
That's
better than the rehab for the... For the Tiki Birds.
It's an interesting theme, but idea rather. But I think the only problem with that might be that isn't the Tiki Room one of the Walt Disney's original attractions?
Well, they've already gutted it once.
Well, that's true.
So
that's a good point.
It's not like Carousel of Progress.
True. So clearly they don't have any.
They have any qualms about it now.
No, yeah.
No, it's all about capacity and.
There will be an uproar though.
I'm sure there will be, but
there will be an uproar. Anytime one of the classics are shut down, Mr. Toad's, and then there's a whole thing about Carousel of Progress being shut down. Anytime
yeah.
something like that is done. There's an uproar, and rightfully so, I think. Again, you know, doing with the classics.
I think Mike's ready to go with
Mike's ready again? Let's see if he gets.
Mike's
got
Jim Hill.
Guess what? We have the famous Jim Hill of Jim Hill Media here making his first podcast appearance. And I don't know if I have enough time to ask him all the questions I want to ask. So, Jim, welcome to MouseFest 2005, and tell me what you've been experiencing.
Oh, it's been a wonderful event. I mean, it's strange to see this many dweebs in one room. But, you know, that's a very sweet crowd that very interested in Disney theme parks. And, of course, it's great to see people like Mike and you know, again. You know, this is the only time we managed to get together. We live two towns apart, and we don't get together.
And I keep offering to buy you lunch, and you just turn it down.
Well, you know, that's I want something bigger than a Happy Meal. But, you know, you want to upgrade, supersize, we'll talk. So
are there any tidbits that you could share with the audience?
Let's see. Tidbits. It's kind of interesting if you get down to the parks these days. We've got, I think my favorite story from this visit is the disappearance of Michael Eisner. You know, that's actually, if you go to One Man Stream at MGM, and they've just, on Monday of this week, changed out the movie. And where Michael Eisner used to introduce the story of Walt Disney, now it's Julie Andrews. And it's just, it's kind of bizarre because it's like, it's sort of like what happened with Khrushchev. You know, after Stalin, you know, in fact, if you go to Mouse Surplus now, the outfit just off property that sells old Disney props, I mean, you go in, and what's amazing is there's this pile of Michael Eisner photos that they've removed from all over property. But the beauty, the real irony of this whole thing is the Michael Eisner photos are piled right next to the Roy Disney pictures, which are the ones that, you know, Michael told them to take down. But, yeah, I mean, it's always fun down here to discover the new stuff.
So there you have it, a Walt Disney World Today.com exclusive.
For the legal fund, for the libel suits that are coming along shortly, just we'll give an address later on. You guys can mail in checks.
And I'd like to add to that, I'd like to talk more with Jim, but I think the lasers are honing in, so I think I'm going to leave right now.
All right, good to see you as always. All right.
Thanks, Jim. All right, back to you, Matt.
Thanks, Mike. And that was Jim Hill of JimHillMedia.com, I believe is the website. And standing by with us, we have Bob Selinger of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, as well as a number of unofficial guides. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you.
How's MouseFest so far for you?
MouseFest is great. We're having a big time here.
Yeah, there's. I see people coming by. We're broadcasting actually about 5 feet from the unofficial guide table, and there's, I mean, people just flock over, and you must get a lot of like people who say, I mean, tell us how it feels when someone comes to you that you've never met clearly ever before, and they'll come to you and say, you know, not that you've changed, that the book has changed their life, but you know, it's changed the way they tour Walt Disney World, and now they. That's how they, you know, almost live when they come here. I mean, how does that feel when someone says something like that to you?
Do you know that person? Could you send them over to the table?
Well, that might be true, but there's a lot of people certainly who are influenced by your book, right?
There are, or at least they say they are, and it's fun to meet readers because we get a lot of direct feedback here. We get reader mail and emails from readers, but to have the opportunity to sit and talk with them and to ask follow-up questions and sort of to pick their mind in regard to how they think the book can be improved is very enjoyable.
That's great. And any interesting stories so far from MouseFest this year that you found? Any events that you've attended? Anything that stuck out in your mind?
Well, this event is the one that I like because for one day a year, this is the best place to come for characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
You won't find characters anyplace else in the world that equal those that are in this room.
That's right.
And not in costume characters.
That's right. All right.
We've got costumes here.
Well, thanks for being on with us, Bob. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good to do it.
Great. And that's, of course, Bob Selinger of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World. And we'll have links on that on the website. And we've got standing by Mike Scopo with, I believe, Chris Carlson of Disney on a Dime. Why don't you go ahead, Mike?
Here I am again, back on the MouseFest floor. This time I happen to be running into Chris and Crystal Carlson, the authors of Disney on a Dime, Money Saving Secrets for Your Walt Disney World Vacation. And how you doing, Chris?
Great. Glad to be here.
Crystal, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks.
So, your first MouseFest with a booth, what do you think of it?
Oh, I love it. You know, we were here last year. We didn't have a booth. We just had a piece of paper. It had the title of our book. This year we have a book, and it's great to hear from people who have read the book and who've used some of our tips and have really benefited from it. It's also just great to see all the people. It gets better and better every year, at least the 2 years I've been here.
So are you looking forward to next year?
Oh, definitely. We're planning our head for next year. You know, looking at all the pins and all the nice things people have to give away. We're thinking about that and also some events that we could possibly do for next year.
Crystal, do you want to say anything to all your readers, everybody who's bought the book and who's been enjoying the book? Do you want to say anything to them?
Sure. Just if you can think of anything else that we may have missed, email us and let us know.
Why don't you give them the email?
Feedback@DisneyOnADime.com.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. And now I'm going to go back to...
Thanks, Mike. And yeah, a little bit of an audio problem right there. And of course, that's Chris Carlson of DisneyOnADime.com. And
are we paying Scopo by the mile? He's walking so fast.
Yeah, Scopo's really he's going from end to end pretty quickly.
Is he running in the marathon too?
Yeah, he's doing the half, I'm sure.
Yeah, and he's running into all the ladies on the way over.
Yeah. I think it's Sue.
Ah,
it, it may be.
Would that be Sue Pizzatoro of Small World Vacations?
The one, the only.
Ah, which of course is online at www.vacations.com. Plural.
Yep.
It's Mike Scopo again on the floor of MouseFest 2005, and I am in the presence of the lovely and talented Sue Pizzatoro of Small World Vacation. Sue, what do you think of MouseFest 2005?
It's great since I finally found you, Mike.
Always the gentlewoman, always the gentlewoman. So what's going on? Have you heard anything new that you'd like to share? Any secrets that, you know, just between you and me, not anybody else, that we can talk about?
Well, I heard strong rumors that DVC might be coming to the Contemporary. Suites, looks like suites are coming to a value resort, maybe Pop. And I'm trying to think if there's any other. Oh, looks like possibly cruises in 2007, new itineraries. Looks like, and this is not unconfirmed, all this is possibly Alaska. But there are no definites yet. Those are the rumors I hear.
Are you saying a Disney cruise that would go to Alaska? Is that what you...
I have no... confirms.
But that's the rumor.
Oh, but it looks like they're looking at that as a possibility.
On the Pop Century Suites rumor, I heard the same thing from a cast member who actually works over there at Pop Century. I've heard even little statements saying that they might even be destroying the possibly building new structures that will accommodate the suite type of design that they're looking for. So, you know, that rumor is flying around right now. I don't know when that would happen, but there's obviously some discussion taking place.
Well, I had a guest who said that they toured like model suites in the jazz section of All Star Music. So I guess they're getting guest feedback at this point, but why would they not have suites? It's one thing that has always been lacking, in my opinion, as far as accommodations for families. Even if you didn't have five, if you just want to be able to shut the door, put the kids to sleep, and stay up and watch some TV and have some adult conversation, suites were really people would go off-site for those things. So it just makes sense that Disney's going to provide them. I'm sure they'll be booked up constantly.
I agree. I think that the price range that they probably want to shoot for is probably under $200 a night.
Yeah, I bet you're right. I'm hoping. I would imagine. That would make it perfect for the people who need it and who want it.
I think you're right. And if I was one of those people who needed it and wanted it, you know what I would do? I would go to Small World Vacations at www.wdwvacations.com, and I would be sure to talk to one of your great agents and get a great thing.
Actually, my agents and I, about 20 of us, were down here just now for our third annual holiday get-together. Disney treated us like royalty. They brought us for some backstage tours. We saw the laundry facilities, which might not sound exciting.
Sound exciting.
It was really exciting. To see how they
sheets and everything, huh?
Sheets and towels and
towels. Ooh!
They have these big bundles of laundry that go in, on these monorail.
Getting me excited, so.
I know. I'm sorry, Mike. I'll stop. Then they brought us to the Disney Florist. That was fascinating. It really was. Then where they do the Christmas decorations. And you know what I saw?
No.
I saw the cars for Expedition Everest.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm. I saw that they were up there. We went to Central, I forget the name of it, where they build things. And where they, there they repair things, they build things, and there were the... And it looked like we were trying to figure it out because they wouldn't let us too close to it, but it looks like it's like a reclining mechanism. But, yeah, it was very cool.
Sounds cool.
There was a train, the front of it. Had like this very, worn-looking engine. But it's very cool. We got to see those cars.
Something cool from a very cool lady. Sue, enjoy MouseFest, and we'll see you around.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Smooth operator.
It's interesting, Len. We did this podcast, one of the reasons we did it, I think, was also, it's a means of advertising what we also do,
Yeah.
With your book and my website and Mike's website and the other Mike's website. But it's interesting because at MouseFest this year, I've been getting many more. We're becoming more famous for the podcast than we are for what we're intending to make more famous.
Which is cool in its own.
Yeah.
Sometimes stuff happens you just don't plan for, and that's just it. So, I certainly enjoy it. So, especially the 850 gig of bandwidth that we used in the last 2 weeks.
That's amazing. That's totally amazing.
Yeah, that's all right. Oh, Mike Scopa's got one more quick.
Yeah, he might be having somebody over here.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm on the floor of MouseFest 2005 with the founder of one of the more popular, probably the most popular community out here, Tegrel.com, the amazing Dave Carr. Dave, what do you think of this year's MouseFest?
It's been great. I'm really having a good time, and it's an amazing turnout.
Who's this lovely lady next to you?
This would be Molly. She's here, and she's another admin on the site, and she's just, I don't even know how to describe her. She's great. She's wonderful sense of humor, and she's so good with all the people on the site. It's just a pleasure to work with her, and call her my friend.
Molly, would you like to add to that? She's a lovely lady, folks.
I'm just here for the buffets.
Do you have any favorite attractions that you'd like to talk about?
I like all the ones where you can sit down and nap for a long time. So I like Haunted Mansion. I like the Hall of Presidents, one of the all-time favorite naps locations. And I like the Universe of Energy and the Great Movie Ride.
They all sound very good. Are you a fan of stage shows in any of the theme parks?
No, I'm a fan of seats that are easy to sit in and relax.
Very good. Is there anything this week that has stood out in your mind as something memorable, something that you're going to take home with you?
Well, the most memorable thing is gathering together with people who think alike and love Disney as much as we all do. That's really what's most memorable. I joke about being a lazy butt tourista, but I really enjoy going to as many places as possible with people who believe, as I do, that this is just a magical place to gather in.
I couldn't have said it better. Dave, you want to talk a little bit about Tegrel.com and how you envisioned it and what you see it as being in the future?
Oh, there's a good question. It started out as really just a place that I could share my trip reports and pictures. I am a DVC owner, so Disney Vacation Club, and I take pictures of everywhere I stay, and I have more people sending in pictures, so I can share the different resort tours with everyone, and it's been a lot of fun. I have a few tools for the DVC members, like the DVC calculator and DVC FAQ, so they can look up some questions and get some answers to, you know, some of the questions that come up again and again. And we have just an incredible community. There's just a group of people on there that are fun and caring and just so much fun to share with. So I'm trying to come up with the right words, and I can't think of them.
How many members do you have?
We're only at about 700, but we've got 70 members that are down here. So like 10% of our membership came down for MouseFest this year, and we have about 110, 120 people that they brought, you know, friends that they brought with them to bring it together. So we've had some amazing meets. Just so much fun. The gift exchange last night was just great. The brunch of the ball was a great turnout today, and we got a nice picture at that of everyone. And it's just great seeing everybody, and that being the third MouseFest that I've been to, I'm getting to know people and more, and it's just like seeing old friends every year and a reunion.
I have to agree with that, and I'd like to say that as a member of Tegrel.com, I have to echo Dave's sentiments. A lot of people don't know it, but a lot of the websites, the webmasters and the web authors, we're fans of each other, and we visit each other's websites. And I know that Deb is a member of Dave's site, Tegrel.com, and I am too, and I call that my home. So thanks, Dave, and thank you for all you've done for Tegrel.com. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you, too, Mike.
That's it from here.
And, Len, what are your rest of your plans for this trip?
Let's see. I've got to finish up a couple hotel inspections over at Boardwalk tonight at Old Key West, Caribbean Beach, Coronado Springs. And I'm going to Raglan Road around 9 o'clock if anyone wants to go.
Is anyone me?
Everyone. The unofficial guide team is going to be there. Come on along.
Yeah, so if you're hearing this on Mouse World Radio, which will be broadcast a little bit later after this podcast is recorded, you can stop by at Raglan Road and look for the nerdy-looking guys and the Super Walt Disney World nerds in the back.
Exactly. Well, I think I might change into jeans. And I'm trying to get over to MGM just to see the Osborne lights sometime around 6 if we could.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
let's do that. It's a date.
And I also wanted to give, before we ended this podcast, I wanted to give a shout-out to our number one fan, Fred, the statistician for Unofficial Guide.
Oh, that's right. Fred Hazelton.
Yeah, Fred Hazelton. Statistician. He loves this show and listens to it all the time, so he has no idea we're mentioning him right
now.
I know.
Thanks, Fred.
Hi, Fred.
Let's say hey to his sons, Alec and Bram. Hey.
And one of the things I've seen this week, crowds have been, you know, they've been pretty manageable in the attractions. I think largely they've been more people in the parks. But
yeah,
the attractions themselves haven't been too inundated with people.
Even today for the parade at the Magic Kingdom, I mean, nothing was terrible. We walked by Stitch, and it was a 20-minute wait around 11:15 or so. It wasn't
Well, it's a 20-minute wait.
It's a 20-minute wait, but they're pretty. They're usually pretty accurate. Yeah. They try and overestimate a bit. But, you know, I mean, Snow White didn't have much of a wait when we were on it. Fantasy Lane didn't look terrible. Dumbo had like a 20, 25-minute wait.
Yeah, that, at Very Merry, I also found that the waits for attractions were non-existent at Very Merry.
Really? What day did you go?
On Thursday,
Yeah, I think on the weekend days, it's definitely going to be larger.
Yeah, I know.
Thursday's a school night.
Yeah, the weekdays certainly benefits the tour on a weekday rather than a weeknight.
And I think Mike is gesturing, gesticulating frantically. You might have to go to the bathroom. We're not sure.
Reporting live from the men's room.
Well, while Mike Scope is trying to find someone, Mike Newell, when you were at Living Seas, were you able to do Turtle Talk with Crush?
The line on that was incredible. It was over 30 minutes when I was there, so I didn't bother. But I will probably tomorrow just to check it out. Hopefully the crowd will be a little bit less than it was the other night.
Well, I'm gonna say to Len, I made this comment earlier to you, Len, about Turtle Talk. And it's no secret that in an earlier show that we did about Soren, that I mentioned that I was not that impressed with Soren. And to follow that up, I'm going to go on the record and say that Turtle Talk with Crush is a more impressive attraction than Soren.
You said it, and I'm going to disagree, of course, but it's a pretty good achievement for an attraction. I mean, the technology behind it's really wonderful, so.
Okay.
It looks like Mike has found someone that doesn't have a restraining order in place on him.
She's smiling anyway.
And so. She's smiling.
And that looks like, is that Jennifer Marks?
It is.
It is. Passporter, so why don't you go right to Mike?
I'm with the lovely Jennifer Marks, one of the founders of MouseFest, and she's always having a long line of people wanting to talk with her, but I got a chance to talk with this lovely lady, and I'm going to ask Jennifer what she thinks of MouseFest 2005.
Oh, it's incredible. I cannot believe how many people are here. This hall is so much bigger than we had last year, and it's filled with people. And the little yellow bags, and there were so many tables with people at them. I was standing in the corner looking at this, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty darn cool.
Jennifer, I know this is the third MouseFest. If you could use one sentence to describe the difference between this MouseFest as compared with the one we did back in 2003, how could you? What would you say?
One sentence.
A couple of sentences.
Stop me there. It's the sheer number of communities participating and a number of people coming together. More people coming together and sharing. That's what it is. That's our goal. That's the whole goal of MouseFest, to get together and interact. And
good answer. Now, just between you and me, can you tell me anything about next year's MouseFest that nobody else really needs to know but just you and me?
I have absolutely no idea. Just between you and me.
Yes, yes.
I'll be there.
Yes, yes.
Alexander will be there.
Yes, yes.
Dave will be there.
Yes, yes.
I know nothing. Deb will be there.
Yes, yes. Well, Deb is everywhere. She's a saint.
Are you leading me somewhere?
I'm just, you know, I'm just, yes, I'm leading you. I'm leading you up a, I don't know.
MouseFest.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, and on behalf of all the Disney fans, thank you for being one of the founders for MouseFest.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the other half of the Marks team, Dave, who's also one of the founders of MouseFest. And Dave, how's things going this year?
It's fabulous. We've got a great turnout here. We've got a great room to have it in. And not only here at the Mega Mouse Meet, but, of course, all the meets throughout. I mean, the turnout at Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party the other night was just enormous. There were two big meets. So I think probably about 200, 250 people there between the two of them. It's incredible. It gets bigger and better every year and happier every year.
I have to agree. I was one of those people who were there. Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'd like you to comment on where MouseFest has come, where it is today, and what you think the future lies for MouseFest.
Well, there wouldn't be a MouseFest if there wasn't a fabulous holiday season at Disney World in the first place. And there are always new families discovering that. There are always new people discovering the web and discovering all the communities online, and so it's always got a future that way. And there aren't a lot of disappointed people, so people keep coming back, new people keep coming on board. People who have been here the first time get more excited than they were the last time and come for more meets the next time. And it's really up to everybody out there. Every community involved seems to love it. Everybody who comes seems to love it. And so we'll just keep finding ways to do it better and have more fun and spread the happiness around.
I think that's a good answer. I thank your wife as being for being one of the founders. I thank Deb, and I thank you for being one of the founders of MouseFest. And we're going to send it back to the boys, Matt and Len.
Great. That's Mike Scopo with Jennifer Marks of Passporter. And you know what? It's been a lot of fun this year at MouseFest. And any closing comments, Len?
I'd just like to thank everybody who came out. This was a great deal of fun, as it is every year. And it's really enjoyable to come out and see the same people every year. And I really appreciate the support, and it's good to see everyone. It's a great time if you guys haven't gone.
Absolutely. And of course, Mike Scopa is somewhere out here, so he's trying to talk to someone else. But
oh, Mike Scopa's got one more quick.
Yeah, he might be having somebody over here.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike again on the floor of MouseFest 2005. I am honored, truly honored, to be in the presence of Miss Margaret Carey, who was the original model for the development of the character Tinkerbell. And I tell you, I am shaking in my boots as I talk to this lovely lady. Margaret, welcome to MouseFest, and what are your thoughts on MouseFest?
Well, you know, I came here with no preconceived idea of what was going on because I had heard different things about it. When I got here, first of all, I was welcomed with open arms. I thought that was just terrific. And then we had to get together, and I started to know the people here and how dedicated they are to all of the Disney things that are important in life and the happiest place on earth. So I will tell you, I was mightily impressed.
Well, we're mightily impressed with you. For those out there who were not able to come to MouseFest, and for those who were here who didn't get a chance to see you, what would you like to say to your fans and to the fans of Tinkerbell?
Well, I don't know whether we're talking to people who want to have a good time and want to have a lovely day and want to and really enjoy the people around them and really meet the authors that of the books that they adore. Well, if they don't come here. But if you do, you come here. There were tables here where you could go and talk to everyone and chat with everybody. And, I mean, how often do you get a chance like that? Not very often. And it was so well organized, Mike. It was amazing to me. What a lovely room. I'd come back if you want to invite me.
With open arms, I have one last question. What is the most important characteristic for the character Tinkerbell? What is the most important thing that we should learn from Tink?
One of the things that you learn from Tink is about, we talked about this before, communications. Do you realize that Tinkerbell doesn't say a word, but she communicates everything with her body, with how she looks, with what she's saying? And we were talking about the fact that it's so important for people to communicate because it's what they can't communicate that really runs their lives. So we were saying she's unusual. We always know what she's doing or thinking. And the other thing about her is she's always ready to find out what's around the corner.
Words of wisdom from a lovely lady. Margaret, it's been an honor and a pleasure, and thank you for coming to MouseFest.
Thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm sorry it's over.
Well, I saved the best for last, and this is Mike Scopa signing off from MouseFest 2005. Good night, folks.
I think we're going to have to wrap this up. This is, of course, Walt Disney World Today. I'm Matt Hatchberg at mgmstudios.org. You can listen to our new episodes, of course, always on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays every week. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, and Michael, I'm Matt Hatchberg.